Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, I Stand at the Door.
Revelation 3:14 through 22. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the origin of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. You realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Therefore, I counsel you to buy the gold from me, refined by fire, so you may be rich, and white robes to clothe you, and keep the shame of your nakedness from being seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. I reprove and discipline those whom I love. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. Listen, I am standing at the door, knocking. If you hear my voice, open the door. I will come to you and eat with you, and you with me. To the one who conquers, I will give a place with me on my throne, just as I conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches.
And our second lesson is taken from the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 7th verse. So again, Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So let us pray. Lord, we do give you thanks for the privilege this day of bowing before you in worship, of sitting beneath the teaching of your word. And now we would pray that the words of my mouth, that the meditations of our hearts together might find acceptance in your sight. For it is you and you alone we desire to please through Christ our Lord. Amen. Whenever I hear this passage from Revelation chapter 3, I'm reminded of the story of the minister who went visiting one day. He was visiting parishioners and came to one particular house unannounced. He rang the doorbell and no one came to the door. He knew that somebody was home. There were lights on. There was sound on the other side of the door. And so he began to knock, but again, no answer. So after a bit, he wrote a little note on the back of his calling card. He wrote Revelation 3:20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Listen to my voice and open the door. The following Sunday morning, a woman greeted him as the pastor greeted the pastor following worship and handed him a note, which read, Genesis 3:10. I heard you, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. You know, in some ways, that encapsulates the entire message of Scripture. This is at the core of our faith. Ours is a God who continues to come to us, to seek us, to find us, even when we are naked, afraid, and hiding. This is what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, as we know that he came to seek and to save the lost. And friends, it's a ministry that has been given to us to carry on still today. By definition, Christianity is an evangelical faith. What we have received from God in Christ, namely his love, his saving grace, his forgiveness, we then are intended to pass on to still others. Now, I know, unfortunately, the word evangelism has gotten something of a negative connotation. For many, it implies something of coercion or manipulation or collar grabbing. And that's so unfortunate because really it's a beautiful word. The Greek word for evangelism simply means to tell good news. And friends, we don't need to beat people up with good news. We simply need to share it with them in a way that is winsome and engaging such that they want to hear it and so to respond to it. In its purest sense, then, evangelism is nothing more and nothing less than a ministry of invitation. One person telling another person of the good news of Jesus Christ. One beggar telling another beggar where to find food. And this is a ministry to which each of us have been given by Christ himself. Throughout the ministry of Jesus, we hear Jesus' way of calling people, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Come, follow me." His was a ministry of invitation, not just to the religious folks, but to the outcast, to the forgotten, to the least and the lonely. He came not to burden us with religious rules and regulations. Instead, he came to set us free to fully live life in his love, in a saving relationship with God, in right relationships with one another. This is what he meant when he said in John chapter 10, "I'm the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved," the vertical relationship with God, "and then will come in and go out and find pasture," the horizontal relationships that we are all involved in. "I've come that they may have life," life, "and have it abundantly." You see, Jesus offers us a way of life and living that no one else and nothing else can offer. And this, then, is the ministry that he has given to each one of us. As we have received it for ourselves, so we share that good news with others. "Go and make disciples," he commissions his disciples. You and I have been charged simply to carry on Jesus' ministry of invitation. But before we can do that, before we can tell others about this life-saving, life-enriching, life-changing relationship with God, we have to have such a relationship. We can't give to someone else something we don't have for ourselves. So the starting point of evangelism, the starting point of any kind of a genuine faith-sharing encounter, is our own relationship with Christ. And the starting point of that relationship is our simply having said yes to an invitation which he gives to us. Listen again, in the third chapter of the book of Revelation, we hear these words of the risen Lord. "Listen, I'm standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me." Friends, I hope you hear that as a personal invitation to you, of the risen Christ himself saying, "I desire to be in a relationship with you, a friendship with you." And that begins by our simply responding to his invitation. This passage was famously illustrated by an artist, Holman Hunt, in a painting I know you will recognize. It's called The Light of the World. As I describe it, Jesus is standing in his royal robe, his crown of thorn on his head. He's standing with a lighted lantern, knocking on the door that appears to be a cottage door. The door is closed fast, signs that it has never been opened before. The hinges and bolts are rusty. The cobwebs and ivy adorn the door. To Holman Hunt's way of seeing this, this is the door of the human heart, yours and mine. And Jesus stands knocking, asking to be invited in. The context of the verse might also be helpful for us. In the book of Revelation, the risen Christ, through his Spirit, is speaking to the seven churches of Asia Minor. This church, Laodicea, was a famous city of the time, located in what is now modern-day Turkey. Laodicea sat at the crossroads of three prominent trade routes, and so it was cultural, it was commercial, it was an administrative center. It was known for three things in the ancient world. It was known for its great wealth, fine banking institutions. It was known for its linen and clothing industry, making both clothing and carpeting. And it was known for its medical schools, it had physicians. And there was a particular ingredient in the soil there that allowed them to make a salve for the eyes. Yet as prosperous as this city was, our Lord criticized the church there for the complacency of their faith. Harsher words against the church are spoken nowhere in Scripture. He says, "You are neither cold nor hot." Oh, I wish that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. It's almost as if the Lord is saying, I don't know what to do with you. They didn't reject the gospel, but nor did they embrace it wholeheartedly. They simply went through the motions of religion without either conviction or enthusiasm. Oh, would that you be hot or cold, he says to them. Then I would know what to do with you. But as it is, they had just enough religion to disguise their real need for a deep and life-changing faith. Like a vaccination, they had just enough of the dead matter to make them immune to this life-giving antibody of Christ. And to be in that condition is worse than having no faith at all. While the church in Laodicea was boasting, I'm rich, I'm prosperous, I have no need of you, Jesus is standing at the door knocking, knowing that despite their overflowing banks, they're poor. Despite their linen factories, they are naked. Despite the ointment they produced for the eye, they are blind. They were rich in the things of this world, yet poor in the things of God. And as a result, the risen Christ calls them wretched and pitiable. Friends, I listen to these words and take them to heart, for they sound so much like the condition many find themselves in today, perhaps even we ourselves. We too would likely confess that we struggle, we live between two worlds. On Sunday morning, we come here and we profess the Lordship of Christ. We commit ourselves to living wholeheartedly for him. But then as we go out into the world, we feel the pull to walk away from these commitments and live in quite a different way. I can think of no more spiritually damaging words than these. I am rich. I am prosperous. I have no need of God. Now, this clearly is a judgment teaching of our Lord. So we have to take it to heart. But as we have seen time and time again, whenever there is a pronouncement of judgment, there is also an invitation of grace. There's an opportunity of repentance. You see, Jesus continues to stand at the door, knocking, asking that we welcome him in, calling us into a new and abundant way of living in a right relationship with God. Notice in this text, it's an active verb. I am standing, knocking, not just once, but continually. God's message of grace continues to flow towards us. He stands knocking, not pounding, not shouting, not forcing his way in. Rather than putting his shoulder to the door, he puts his hand to the knocker, and he invites us, he waits for us to welcome him in. I mean, given who he is, he has authority over heaven and earth. He could knock down the doors of our hearts. He could knock down the doors of our lives, but he doesn't. Instead, he waits patiently for us to respond to his invitation. And his message is consistent and it is clear. Listen to my voice and open the door. And open it we must. Referring to Jesus' teaching in John chapter 10, we cannot enter into the sheepfold of God, into this people of God, in any other way than through him, for he is the gate. Now, perhaps many of us are thinking, this is such elemental teaching, and it is. But it's a reminder to each of us that it is an essential first part of our understanding of faith. This is the decision we must make if we are in any way going to say, I am Christian. And it doesn't happen to us by chance or by accident or by birthright, by my family line, or because I'm an American. It's not anything that anyone else can do for us. Let there be no confusion, no misunderstanding on this. Jesus cannot come in. He will not come in unless and until we invite him. You see, to become a follower of Christ means we have responded to the invitation of Christ by deciding to open the door of our hearts and welcome him in as Savior and Lord. I believe that God is calling each one of us, even today, into a closer and deeper relationship with him. However, some of us can hardly hear the knocking because there's too much other noise in our lives. We simply need to turn down the volume of that confusion so that we can hear his calling, his knocking, so that we'll recognize his voice. For some, perhaps even among us here today, he's asking you to open the door of your heart for the first time in your life. For others of us, he's asking you, me, the thousandth time. No longer just to enter into the front door, but to enter into the other rooms of our lives that up to this point we have simply closed off to him. Perhaps into the family room where we live our lives as husbands and wives and parents and children. He's asking us if he can come into the study of our lives where we make decisions about how we use our time and our money and our resources. He wants to come into our dens and our playrooms and our bedrooms. There is not a room in the house of our lives that Jesus doesn't say, "I am Lord here." So how is God calling you today into this deeper relationship with himself? If we say he is the shepherd and we are the sheep, that means we will recognize his voice. So the question is, will I obey him? Will I follow him? Perhaps he's calling you through a sense of longing, an inner yearning that there's something missing in life. Perhaps through a desire or a craving to explore the spiritual side of life. Perhaps he's speaking to you through a hurt, a disappointment, a pain, a longing, a need that longs to be fulfilled. Perhaps he's speaking to you through a dawning awareness that you have everything the world has to offer, and still you find yourself feeling poor and naked and blind. Perhaps he's speaking to you through the tingle you feel in your spine when you hear these words, as though they were spoken just to you. Listen, I'm standing, knocking. Open the door so that I can come in. We'll eat together. We'll enjoy fellowship together. Welcome me into your life. Friends, I beg you to listen to that knocking, to answer his call. The door of our hearts doesn't open by chance. We have to make that effort. We must open it. In Holman Hunt's famous painting, it's interesting to note, there's no door handle. There's no latch on the outside where Jesus is standing. The door must be opened from the inside, from our side. The decision of faith is always and only one that belongs to us, each of us alone. So let anyone who has ears, let them hear. One of my favorite theologians, John R.W. Stott, speaks of the importance of this decision of faith in this way. He says, you can believe in Christ intellectually and admire him. You can say prayers to him through the keyhole. You can push coins at him under the door to keep him quiet. You can be moral, decent, upright, and good. You can be religious. You can have been baptized and confirmed. You can be deeply versed in the philosophy of religion. You can be a student of theology. You can be an ordained pastor and still not have opened the door to Christ. There is no substitute for this. When I sat down to write this message, there were two points I wanted to make. The second being the importance of our sharing this good news with others, this good news of God's love and saving grace. But I discovered once again that this first step is so essential that we can't really move on from it until we have this one decided. So I'll invite you to come back next week. Little hook there, right? Today we talked about Jesus' invitation to us. I stand at the door. Next week we'll talk about the way we can invite still others. I stand by the door. So this morning in our time of silent reflection, I'll invite you to prayerfully consider this one question. Which side of the door of my life does Christ stand on? And if you know with certainty that you have responded to his calling, said yes to his invitation to discipleship, are actively growing and desiring to grow deeper and stronger in your relationship with him, then I invite you to take this time simply to say thank you. Thank you for the gift of life and of salvation, this abundant life that you've given to me. Thank you for allowing me into this relationship, and I commit myself to going deeper with you. But if you are not certain that you've ever said yes to this gracious invitation, this morning would be a wonderful opportunity to do that. And it can be as simple as this. You can tell him of your desire to enter into a friendship, a relationship with him, so that you can live a life that is holy and pleasing to him. You can tell him about all the things that have kept you from saying yes to him before. Tell him all of the fears and confusions you have, all the reservations you might have about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And then simply open the door and invite him to come in, just like you would any guest that comes to your door at home. And he will do the rest. He already has done the rest. He will enter in and enjoy that fellowship with you. Friends, this is the first and essential step in the Christian life, responding to the invitation of the one who stands knocking, waiting for you to open the door and welcome him in. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we come now, and even in the silence of this moment, we simply want to have a conversation with you. Lord, do your work in us. Whether we've said welcome 1,000 times or for a first time, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your saving grace. It is through Christ our Lord. Now hear our prayer. Amen.